Thanks, can you hear me?
Welcome to the Grateful Shows podcast, exploring the world of Grateful Dead live shows through history, philosophy, fiction, and poetic meditations. I'm your guide, host, and author, J.Y. Pod, asking you to join me as we take a step back. This edition of Grateful Shows takes us back to May 6th, 1980, a Tuesday night on the campus of Penn State University. We'll do the first set this episode, and then feel free to join us next episode for the second set. Shall we go? Grateful Shows Tour Book 1, Show Number 2. A meditation on Recreation Hall, Penn State University, University Park, Pennsylvania. Tuesday, May 6th, 1980. A 3-hour dance marathon. Set 1. Alabama Getaway. Musical activities resume in the heart of the Keystone State, down in the happy valley of the shadow, just you, Alabama, and me. Here, we uncover the sound of both hands clapping, scattered shots of brilliance, and a symphony of pounding bass. And Brent. Don't forget about Brent. However, the Penn State faithful would like to forget about Alabama. The Grateful Dead are pouring salt into the Sugar Bowl wounds, which continue to fester despite a passage of a year and 4 months. And would you believe the Tide adds yet another national championship to its coffers while the beloved Nittany Lions languish in mediocrity? Tonight is the perfect vessel with which to deposit your pent-up injustice, disappointment, and SEC contempt. I heard you pee in the courthouse. Come on, Jerry. Although it makes for captivating testimony, that absolutely cannot be a real lyric. Our disbelief leads to more lyrical missteps. It's fourth and short. Go for it. Garcia's second solo of the evening gets the call. Jerry rips it, shredding through dead embedded heads. Whoa, Nelly. This Alabama is also a winner, but one we can get behind. Mission accomplished, but it's never enough. We want the 1-2 punch, quick transition, and the post-title arrow, which, it seems, we will get. Greatest story ever told. A quick pivot to the G set compresses the headspace. There's only enough room for those who pledge to ride the quasar with a clear purpose. Accelerated, warbling, wobbly notes penetrate the brain, emphasizing the hyperpace. Note by note, second by second, hints of worry and flashes of paranoia shrink until at last, a wave of relief that signals, yes, our fragile mental state will hold. All aboard! With Bible characters to the right and evil spirits to the left, it's light speed ahead. But this is too much, too fast. It's impossible to evaluate the music clearly. It's all about standing on chairs, clapping hard, and feeling the massive power blast through the speakers, rippling through our clothes, like the blown away guy from Maxell fame. From a product placement perspective, a cassette tape maker could do worse than a dead show. Activate target audience. Visions of XL2s, UDXL, UR, and MA90s dance in our heads. Dolby B, please, to help reduce the millions of thoughts racing through our minds. And just when you thought the walls had caved in for good, our boy arrives, left-handed monkey wrench in hand, bringing with him a welcome respite from the mayhem. Bob says, thank you. Peggy O. There's an early request for the rider. Patience, my dear son. We've got an entire first set to get through. First, let's embark on a journey to the fictional locale of Fenario, where our captain has taken on the unenviable task of safely transporting us from this dingy gymnasium to a utopian state. Apologies for interrupting such a grand voyage, but an official request for a football reference has been submitted. Apparently, a representative from the university's athletic department is waiting outside and wishes to speak with someone immediately. Captain, would you be so kind as to humor him backstage? Once both parties are settled, he clears his throat and begins his pitch. We were wondering if we could use Peggy O in our football team's hype video, he says, checking his clipboard several times before continuing. This is Peggy O, right? Okay, Jerry. Would it be too much trouble to change a few words to give the song more of a Penn State flavor? Broadcasting students have already written alternative lyrics, and the largest PR agency in State College will handle the project's details. Think Lion's Pride. Think blue and white. Think State. So, Cherry, here's what we've come up with. Please let us know your decision, sooner rather than later, okay? Thanks. With a hopeful look, he tears off a piece of paper from his notebook and hands it to the band. Lyrics are as followed. We played ball for Coach Paterno. He roamed the sidelines in black shoes. Coach Paterno. We loved with all our might, our team in blue and white. Led by legendary Joe Paterno. What do you mean, no? Let it be known that the Grateful Dead have never and will never become corporate shills. While your black shoe approach is appreciated, unfortunately, the song in question is laden with too much history to be reduced to a mere commercial product. Peggy O. the Earworm, courtesy of the Pennsylvania State University football program, shall never happen. Therefore, let the record show that we declare that this meeting, its contents, and all memories of tonight's Peggy O. performance are to be expunged from the records of all attendees. Our team's non-disclosure agreement is binding on all parties. Accordingly, we are not at liberty to discuss this matter further. Me and my uncle. Bobby clears away the image of commercialization, bereft of artistic merit, from the collective consciousness and lays down a Western tale of dirty deeds done by dirty dudes. Not the type you'll find playing football for a legendary coach, though they may try their luck as walk-ons. Intensely competitive overachievers are always welcome, especially on special teams. Wait a minute. We thought all football references were forbidden. What's with the shoehorning of walk-ons, special teams, and coaches? In theory, yes, but here in central Pennsylvania, football and its worshippers die hard. Harder than your uncle, whose dead ass was left lying by the side of the road. Big River. May we make up for past transgressions with a song about crying a river to navigate a flood of emotions? No rivers around here, sir. But there's plenty of deer. A solo journey it is, then. Perhaps we are not as alone as we thought. The journey of heartbreak unfolds along a riverbank littered with sobbing men waving white handkerchiefs in support of our plight, begging us to stop and take refuge for the night. Yet we forge ahead. Good thing, too. Brent rose by, kickstarting the tune with a brief mood-altering mini-solo that generates enough electricity in the air to fill our sails and propel us further towards the Gulf of Mexico. Jerry joins in with some express lane shit. Faster, faster. With both feet on the gas, there's no stopping. A turbulent whirlwind of sound threatens to send us off course, but locked in as we are, our fate is never in doubt. The waters churn as a final frenzy of notes spits us safely into the Gulf. Destination known. Oh, it's heaven, all right. The vibes, the music, the heat. The perfect place to sit and cry or die. Jesus Christ, what a 1-2 punch. This is absolute catharsis. Buy these guys a beer. And then pour one out for the handkerchief brigade. For upon the successful completion of our journey, we learn that they have not been so fortunate. Before reaching the safety of the Gulf, they succumb to despair and sorrow. Their emotional mechanisms shutting down, leaving them stranded on the shores of heartbreak for eternity, doomed to cheer on those brave enough to challenge the big river of love. It's been quite the ride, so we employ Jerry to take it down a notch. His response in the form of tuning says, "Loser. If you say so, big guy, let's do it." Loser. It is not just a song of serenity, but a piece of music that has the power to prompt a reevaluation of one's life, the choices made, the company kept, and the consequences not yet faced are examined within the microcosm of a single musical entity, its jelly-like substance surrounding you, soothing and calming you to the point where disassociation begins to set in. Thank you, Jerry. The guitar tone is tasty, the voice is fraught with warning, the band is backing, and the crowd is rapt. This is high-stakes gambling. Everything is at stake, including our connection to reality. What more could one ask for? Add to this the belief held by a specific faction of deadheads that the song's guitar solo is the de facto gauge of our hero's bravado, despite facing impossible odds. With everything at stake, the impending guitar solo descends upon us. The scales tip up and down, weighing each mistake and flaw against accumulated good deeds. Measured and stern, Jerry addresses us from the lectern. Some listen intently, some nod off and later ask the girl in front of them for her notes, spending more time plotting how to cheat on the test than actually studying, while others stare out the window, searching for external answers. The truth is, there are no real answers, only questions inscribed on rows of giant dominoes. Push one over and the next challenge appears, a black stone, a portal to the abyss. It stands firm, immovable, much like the decisions you skillfully avoid. Over time, even immobility loses importance as the decisions you never made, the paths you never took, and the challenges meant to help you grow are absorbed into the light and cast upon a more deserving person. The solo finishes. The fate of our hero remains unsolved. If you want to believe he ultimately triumphed, then you are welcome to interpret Garcia's solo that way. The more cynical among us know better. It was a good loser, with an ample amount of subtle fill for those willing to partake. But one loser does not a show make. Plenty more lessons await. Far from me. Placing a Brent tune smack dab in the middle of a set that's still finding its identity is a gamble even our loser wouldn't take. Is this a bathroom break song yet, or are we too quick to judge something beyond our expertise? While some folks dance around and enjoy themselves as if they're at a Don't Ease Me In gathering, we are not among them. This reflects our tolerance more than a reaction to the song. Fortunately, it ends before we are forced to offer more lukewarm praise. Clapping politely should suffice. This feeling will unexpectedly resurface years later at her oldest daughter's piano recital. On cue, we will react with the same enthusiasm when others, besides our daughter, finish their pieces. Lazy Lightning. Now this is how to write a sinking ship. Bob puts his veteran savvy to good use and plants his flag, raising the atmosphere, mood, and temperature in the process. Despite almost coming off the rails and plunging into the depths, we're back on the path of recovery. Note to self, cherish this piece of music, as sadly, the lightning quiver is nearly empty, and the band will strike us only a couple dozen more times. You might spend the next few years wondering when you'll see another one, at the next show, or even on the next tour. And your last one? If not tonight, will it be at MSG next year, or in New Haven in 82? Rumors and unreliable info trickle down the Deadhead pipeline, but it is through cassette tapes saddled with unknown generations that you confirm your fears. Lazy Lightning has become scarce. You will eventually accept that, like so many moments in life, it is the end of an era, never to return. So let's do this one together. For God's sakes, make it count. Garcia, with plenty of runs up and down the fretboard, radiates positive energy and a sense of invincibility. The power, the glory, double dose in any case, hell, make it a triple. Excited and unbridled, there's no stopping us now. My Lightning too was a clear invitation to sit among the gods. You accept and move forward. But be careful not to get too close, lest security smite you with an admonishing look. Even gods have their guards. As the supplication echoes from the stage, you retreat, keeping a safe distance, eyes fixed on the guardian and protector. Supplication. Serve fresh, with something for both vegetarians and the starch averse, the evening's first meat and potatoes, a taste of drawn-out psychedelic interlude. Potential is a thick cloud of smoke that lingers above the stage. Phil captures some and stuffs it into the bass line, where it bubbles up your spine and challenges you to sit still. The band is on it, the crowd is on it, and the ants are on it, overwhelming the carcass with sheer numbers, tearing the last bits of grizzle until only shiny white bone remains, bleached fodder baked in the sun. You awaken in the misty midst of a full-on mountain freakout. Run to the hills, for an unholy occurrence has begun. The birth of a legend you don't want to miss. Yes, yes, and yes again, as the pulsations build with each wave, creating a collective state of trance. Too terrified to consider how, when, or even where this will land, the only certainty is that when it does, the masses will collectively exhale a satisfied, whew, like right now. Now that, my friends, was music. Althea. We've got ourselves a show, people. Will Garcia keep Althea even-keeled unlike Baltimore's racier offering? The answer is simple. You will get the version you deserve, as it has been and always will be. Since tonight is a special night for the misses and me, we'd like to order the slow, painful burn of loss. No need to gloss over the truth. Slow it down. Make us feel. We can handle it. Additionally, please include references to obscure historical figures to illustrate that suffering has been a part of the human experience since the earliest recorded emotions. Research shows that the first Paleolithic cave paintings depicted themes of love and loss. Later, images of successful animal hunts and other human victories over beasts gradually replaced these themes. Man's desire to showcase triumph overtook art and introspection. With this phase of human expression came a loss of soul, a soul we continue to seek through music. The Grateful Dead is willing to expose their soul and face their demons, so out of respect, we shall do the same. The temperature rises, and with it, the realization that we are far from perfect. And dwelling on our worst traits begins to feel overwhelming. Call it growth. Living a purely happy life rarely grants wisdom. The twins, trauma and pain, shape a personality into a stronger version of their previous self. This is a majestic telling of Althea. Behold, the troops have returned from battle. They carry both physical and mental scars, along with tokens of victory. Their sallow eyes, still haunted by battlefield horrors, look somewhere no man wishes to see. Here, drink this extract of tonight's music. This homeopathic healing remedy identifies one's pain, merges with it, and absorbs it until relief is finally found. It is our offering for your service, done in the name of this wonderful country. Please take this medicine and retreat to quiet quarters. There is salvation to be found in the darkness. Upon conclusion, Althea was fairly dark. Wonder if there's any more of that soldier-grade salvation still available. Lost Sailor. Battle-tested Bob, the Lost Sailor, of undecided life direction, is the saddest character of them all. A lonely man, quietly adrift in the sea of indecision. Occasionally, ships approach, dispatch a skiff and a small crew to assess the situation, and then depart. Friend or foe? He offers no answers, no directions, and nothing for trade, and no gifts for appeasement. They return empty-handed and spiritless, their findings duly reported to the captain. Soon, the order is given to raise the mast and prepare for disengagement. From the beginning of time, this has been the way, the only life he has known. Worn and emaciated by the elements and a lack of nutrition, he was finally given a lifeline the day his doppelganger arrived. They shared stories of an insular life, smothered by a dependent parent, unable to release them for fear of abandonment. A decision was made to end this cycle now. Enough of this aimless life. Change the mindset, change the mind, change the reality, and change the surroundings. Now the past scatters in the wake of the inability to take a stand, as gathered dreams, unknown worlds, and a life infused with concrete vision beckon on the horizon. Sana circumstance. Conquering inertia by taking control of reason and ramming it down the throats of previously unsurmountable tasks is incredibly satisfying. Time is not on your side, so make haste to slay the beasts, and victory will be yours. That dream life might finally be within reach. Indeed, it is a wonderful sight, but it's essential to keep your vision to yourself, lest it be blown away by spoken words. Words, rather than actions, have paved the path to ruin for those foolish enough to let them slip away. Do not let words complete tasks that aren't yet finished. Bobby's singing sets the tone. Jerry, never one to back down, shares his blueprint for success with a powerful guitar buildup that embodies the conviction of a lion. The prey is within reach. Now go out and seize it, you fool. There is no time to hesitate. The life you easily latched onto isn't the final reality you must endure. With the ability to change comes a new version of yourself waiting to emerge. The freedom of becoming. Life's greatest gift is doing what makes you happy and fulfills your purpose. Whether it's being a mechanic, a philosopher, an artist, or a gardener. It is now yours to keep. It is your will to go for it for sure. The song ends in a flurry of positivity. you have the permission to succeed. And with that, we reach the end of the set. Bob has some short words for us. Thank you all. We're going to take a short break and be back in just a few minutes. So everybody hang loose. So that does it for the first set. Thank you so much for choosing to spend time with us here at the Grateful Shows podcast. Be sure to tune in for the second set right here on Grateful Shows. See you next set. If this reading of Grateful Shows has given you something to sit with, I'd be glad to have you along for the rest of the ride. You can listen on whatever platform suits you best. The link is in the show notes. And if you'd like to go deeper, the written work behind these readings will be available as a complete tour book upon finishing the tour. Again, the link is below. A short note on Podchaser would mean a great deal at this early stage of the show's life. And if you'd like to receive occasional communication about the writing and what's coming next, the newsletter sign-up is in the show notes too. Thank you so much for listening.